You're listening to an audio resource from Vineyard Church of the Rockies in Fort Collins, Colorado. We are joining God's mission, transforming all things, and you're invited. To learn more about us and how you can connect, please visit votr.church.
That matter, if we've never met before, my name is Jeff. I'm the lead pastor here at the Vineyard, and we know that every Sunday when we gather here, there are a number of people tuning in online, and God is meeting with you as he is meeting with us. That he is not bound by time or space. And so we know that God is moving wherever you're tuning in, that countless people have given their life to Christ online. They've received prayer ministry, and we hope that this Sunday is a continuation of that for you this morning as well. I do want to just mention a couple of things this morning, remind you of our online tool, votrweekly.org. If you've never been there, I would encourage you to go there and check it out every week or so. It gets updated continually. There's all kinds of things happening at the Vineyard, and all the announcements and things you can sign up for are found at votrweekly.org. There's baptisms coming up, so if you've recently given your life to Christ, make sure you sign up for that. We've got Good Friday services, Easter, Bristow's leading a prayer. I mean, it's all kinds of things happening. The one big announcement that I want to share with you this Sunday is that in about 1 week's time, well, next week, next Sunday night, Natalie and I are hosting our Newcomers Dinner. And Newcomers Dinner happens every other month or so, and we invite anyone who's new or newish to the Vineyard to come over to our house for a meal. We share a meal, we share conversations, talk about how we found the Vineyard, what God's doing in our lives, to share a little bit about our story as well. We would love for you to sign up for that and come and enjoy that time of fellowship together and learn more about who we are and what God is doing in our midst. Just make sure that you RSVP. That helps us a ton with food allergies and head counts and all of that stuff that we have to be aware of so we can cook a good meal for you. Well, as we continue our series called Signs and Wonders, I want to start today by recommending another book to you. I did this a couple weeks ago with Power Healing by John Wimber, and I have found that the best books to recommend kind of help encourage you in some of the ways that you approach the faith and approach the world, but also the best books challenge you a little bit. And I think the book I'm going to recommend today will do both of those things. It's called Both And by a pastor and writer named Rich Nathan, who led one of the larger Vineyard churches in Columbus, Ohio, wrote this book and just did a fantastic job talking about how in the kingdom, especially as New Testament believers, what happens for a lot of folks is they accept the kind of the temptation to be an either-or Christian. And so they'll take one verse, and that will be the only verse that they care about, and they'll discard maybe entire books of the Bible, and it's either this or that, and they're going to be either-or types of Christians. So they're going to have kind of ideas and concepts that they champion, but they forget about others. But what Rich does so well in this book is that he explains how in the kingdom, and really throughout Scripture, we are invited to live in the tension of the kingdom. That all of the Scriptures apply to our life, all of these ideas apply to our life, and we're invited to live in the reality of both and. And the reason why I'm recommending this is because in the first section, I think Rich does a fantastic job explaining a bit about who we want to be as people and who we want to be as a church. A church and a people who are deeply connected and deeply impacted by the Word of God, and also deeply impacted and deeply transformed by the power of His Spirit. Both Word and ministry of the Spirit. His Word, God's Word, is alive and active, and it helps transform our lives as we engage in Scripture. But also we need encounters with His love. We need to experience God's presence for that transformation to go down deep and change us from the inside out. We need both and, not either or. I love this quote from Rich Nathan. He said, "If we emphasize Word over Spirit, we dry up. If we emphasize Spirit over Word, we blow up." The awkward laughter of that one tells me some of you have experienced that. But if we hold Word and Spirit together, we grow up, right? If it's just Bible study, actually life can get a bit dry. If it's just study after study after study after study, you'll miss something. But if it's only ministry time all of the time, things get a little off kilter and they get a little odd, right? But if we can hold the tension of both word and spirit together, if we can live in that both and reality, we grow up. We spiritually mature. And I know for some, the vineyard is probably more charismatic than what you're used to. Depending on your upbringing and maybe your childhood or the types of churches that you've been around, the vineyard could be too charismatic for you. Especially, I mean, think about like if you grew up in a liturgical church or maybe the pastor wears a robe or a collar. I don't do either of those things. And so this can feel a bit maybe charismatic for you. But for others, we're not charismatic enough. Especially if you grew up in a church where maybe you had hour-long worship services, where prophecy and tongues were a normal part of your Sunday experience, right? Here at the Vineyard, we are on the quest for the radical middle, which means on any given Sunday, we offend people on the sides of the edges. And I'm okay with that. I'm used to bothering people. This is what has happened in my life. I'm okay with that because we're seeking a dialed down approach to ministry where we never have to hype up the power of the Holy Spirit. We can always just trust that God is at work and God is moving. But also a Sunday where we experience the power of God's word in the midst of all of that. You know, there are still some who love to argue and argue with me that maybe God doesn't move in the gifts of the Spirit anymore. He doesn't heal, that he doesn't speak to us like the days of the Bible. There's a theological word for that, by the way. The theological word is cessationist, because they believe that the gifts of the Holy Spirit have ceased. But most of the time, what I've learned is that when I engage in conversations with folks who want to argue with me about whether or not we're in a time of cessationism or not, is that even if the conversations start that way, as we get to know each other and as we share God's stories with one another, what I've come to learn is they actually do believe that God still speaks. They've just codified or labeled those encounters with the Lord a bit differently than I do. I want to give you a couple of examples of what I've heard, right? This is what I might call growing in the prophetic. Other people say different words, and that's okay. Years ago, one of my closest friends was sharing with me a time when he was reading the scripture, and he was explaining how as he was reading through the Bible, it's like the pages and the words were just jumping off the page and just smacking him right in the face and leaving an imprint on his heart. He just felt like God was up to something as he was reading the Bible that day. And I said, oh, that sounds like maybe God was prophetically speaking to you, or maybe you were having a bit of revelation. And he goes, oh, no, Jeff, that, no. That didn't happen, and that doesn't happen anymore. What was happening is God was illuminating the word of God for me. It wasn't revelation, it was illumination. This is a real thing. If you've ever been in that camp, by the way, you know exactly what I'm talking about, because you've been taught that God doesn't reveal those types of things anymore. He just illuminates what he's already said. Hey, potato, potato, right? Like, to me, it sounds like God is speaking to you. It sounds like he's using his eternal word to speak to you. Others will tell me, Jeff, God just doesn't speak to me the way that he speaks to you. And that, to me, is like an invitation to just disagree, right? Like, those are the conversations I really love to have. Because I just disagree with that, right? Like, he might speak to me in a different kind of way than he speaks to you, but he's speaking to both of us, right? And so it's always funny because, again, those conversations start that way, and then over time, as we share stories, it inevitably comes out that somehow, some way, they picked the college they wanted to go to, and it usually sounds something like this. Well, I just felt led to go to that college. Really? How? How did you feel led? Or one of my favorites is, yeah, I was at worship, and I just felt like I was supposed to go pray for that person. Oh, that sounds a lot like what happens to me. So tell me what it is you were experiencing. Or this one time I was talking with someone who I really trust. They said, God just laid it on my heart to quit this job and go pursue this other job. And as we dug into that, I said, well, what does that mean? What does that experience like? How does that feel like for you? Because to me, the way you're talking about it sounds a lot like the way I would talk about growing in the prophetic or learning to hear God's voice. Or does it just normally happen for you where you just get a random thought to quit a job and go get another one and it all lines up perfectly for you, right? Like, perhaps God is behind this whole thing. Maybe all along you were hearing that almost imperceptible but deeply profound and powerful voice of God all along. And what I try to teach in those conversations, and maybe present to some of you in this morning, if you're in that same camp, is that at the Vineyard, we simply call that the leading of the Holy Spirit. We might call that hearing God's voice or growing in the prophetic. And there's nothing out loud about it at all, but those promptings, those intersecting thoughts, or those leadings and leanings one way or another are often placed in your mind and placed in your heart by God's still small voice. Sometimes when God speaks, it is big and it is undeniable, but most of the time it's the subtle, soft, and kind whispers of God that are so gentle you can mistake them for your own thoughts, but they're actually His all along. But why would God do that, and how does God go about this? And then if you do feel like you hear from the Lord, what are you supposed to do next? These are some of the questions that we're going to talk about this morning in a message that I've titled Signs and Wonders Prophecy. We've talked about healing. We've talked about the feeding of the 5,000. Today, we're talking about prophecy. And I'm going to share a lot of practical tools and tips today. But on the front end, I just want you to know that by the end of our time together this morning, I'm going to ask everyone to present two questions before the Lord. One, God, what are you saying to me today? What are you saying to me right now? And two, do I need to give my life to Christ for the very first time? Like every Sunday we gather, people join us who have not yet made a decision to follow Christ. And if that's you, we're so glad that you're joining us at the Vineyard. And we're going to give you an opportunity to respond to the gospel for the very first time today. I shared a few weeks ago as we started this series, Signs and Wonders, that the greatest miracle of all is your salvation. The greatest miracle of all is a personal relationship with Jesus, one where you can run into His arms, be forgiven for all of your sins, adopted into His family, and you can receive the purposes of God for your life. That is the greatest miracle. And if you've never made that decision, then at the end of our service, we'll give you a chance to respond to the Lord today. But for all of us, even if you don't yet consider yourself a follower of Christ, I do want to really explore the gift of the prophetic together, or a phrase that I will often use, learning to hear God's voice. So let's start in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I'm going to read the first few verses. Let love be your highest goal, Paul writes. Let love, this is like a great moment to pause right there. If everything else we talk about isn't grounded and rooted in love, then we're doing something wrong. So let me just repeat that one again for everyone to hear. 14 verse 1, let love be your highest goal. But you should also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy. For if you have the ability to speak in tongues, you will be talking only to God, since people won't be able to understand you. You'll be speaking by the power of the Spirit, but it will all be mysterious. But one who prophesies strengthens others, encourages them, and comforts them. A person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally, but the one who speaks a word of prophecy strengthens the entire church. And since context is really important, since context is key to understanding the scripture, it's important to mention that really this topic is talked about by Paul in chapters 12, 13, and 14 in 1 Corinthians. And we have to remember as we engage in scripture that this is an actual letter written by an actual church leader to an actual church in Corinth. Paul planted this church in about 50 AD. And the Spirit of God was moving in Corinth in powerful, powerful ways. The Spirit of God was poured out in a unique kind of way in Corinth. But what had happened over time was they needed to be corrected because they were getting a bit off track. And so Paul, kind of like any good church leader, he addresses the elephant in the room. Over time, the church in Corinth, see, they began to elevate certain gifts over others. And all of a sudden, their gatherings of worship began to get a bit chaotic. People were shouting over one another in the midst of the service. They were praying in tongues, oh, louder than the person who was preaching. They were prophesying over one another like some kind of spiritual one-upsmanship, trying to prove their value in the kingdom of God. And it got a little awkward when communion happened because they were drinking a little bit too much of the wine. Every church has its issues. even dating back to the Corinthians. It was chaotic, to say the least. And Paul was addressing it because it was hurting their witness in the city. It was hurting their witness in the city, and also it was hurting their ability to come together as one body of Christ and worship together and experience God together. So Paul addressed it. I would encourage you over the next couple of days to read chapters 12, 13, and 14 because Paul really does a masterful job of explaining everything. But I love chapter 14, particularly these first few verses, because Paul really gets to the point, right? Verse 1, desire the gifts. It's a good desire. Desire the gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. A tongues is good. Tongues is from God, but desire the prophetic even more. Seek after this gift. And then Paul, like any good preacher, like any good church leader, he says this and then he begins to instruct them how to go about it. It's not just the idea. It's not just the concept. He begins to tell them how to go about it. And I think that's something definitely to emphasize together this morning. Paul writes to us, if you offer a prophetic word, it needs to strengthen, encourage, and comfort others. If you offer a prophetic word and it shames, it discourages, it offers condemnation, or it creates division, then it's not a prophetic word. It's simply not a prophetic word. Look at verse 3. Paul makes it so incredibly clear. But one who prophesies strengthens others, encourages them, and comforts them. He strengthens, encourages, and comforts. And by the way, it doesn't mean that every prophetic word that you ever receive or you ever hear is going to be like a warm fuzzy and just make you feel like you're covered in a warm blanket of the presence of God. Sometimes you are strengthened by a challenging word. This is real. But if it's not done with the heart and the essence and the nature of God, of one who encourages and empowers and comforts, then it's not being delivered in the 1 Corinthians 14 kind of way. God is very interested in strengthening you and encouraging you and comforting you. And Paul is reminding us in this scripture that if you want to deliver a word from God, you must deliver it with the heart of God. Those things have to go together. And I would go so far to say, if you just give me a pastoral little moment with you, that if you're offering a word that's not strengthening, encouraging, and comforting, then you didn't hear from the Lord. And that's okay. Like, we all make mistakes. But to call it prophetic when it's not, you're getting eerily close to spiritual abuse at that point. And so we just want to be careful with that. Right? Either it's not encouraging, strengthening, and comforting, or perhaps the delivery mechanism is a little broken, and maybe you need to seek God for some healing so that you can hear from him and deliver it in a way that's incredibly loving and marked with the nature and presence of God. I mean, I get pretty serious about this, and I present that to you not to discourage you from seeking the gift, but because it's vitally important for us as a body of Christ. Look, it says it plainly in Scripture. That this is what the prophetic looks like. It looks like strengthening, encouraging, and comforting. So that's enough reason for me alone. I can just stand on 1 Corinthians 14 and trust that as true. But secondarily, I've also pastored a whole bunch of people who've been really hurt by the prophetic. And I'd rather not repeat those mistakes. I'd rather not repeat that kind of reality. The reality, right, is when you look at this, if you think about God like a construction guy, he's very rarely, if ever, going to use you for the demolition side of construction. We'll leave that part up to God, okay? God's not going to use you for the demolition side of construction. He's more encouraged in building you up than he is in tearing you down. And if you're going to deliver a word on his behalf, then we need to make sure that it is bathed in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3. For strength, encouragement, and comfort. One of the first prophetic words I ever received, was given to me by a guy who was learning to walk in the gifts of the Spirit, who was learning to operate in the prophetic. And we need places where we can learn how to do this, right? This is why we emphasize small groups. This is why we encourage you to go to worship nights and prayer nights and join the prayer ministry team, because we need places to grow in this. But one of the first words I ever received, man, I will never forget it, because it was a mixed bag. It was a both and moment in its truest sense. It was both good and bad all at the same time. But I will say that there were some really good things mixed in. There were some good things happening. First, what I noticed is that the person who was learning to walk in the gifts of the Spirit was paired with someone who was really spiritually mature. And that's just a great model, right? That's just a great model, because it's hard to go too far out of bounds if you're tethered to someone who's gifted in this and has some maturity in this. And the second thing is that I noticed they were practicing really good prophetic etiquette, right? That's a phrase that I like to use, prophetic etiquette. What I mean is there's a bit of etiquette behind how they're presenting this word to me. These were part of the good things, right? So in this kind of prophetic etiquette, what they said was they started every phrase with, "I think the Lord might be saying." And that's just a much more humble way to say, I think I might be hearing God for you, compared to like the really awkward person who kind of puffs out their chest and contorts their face and changes their tone and says, "Thus saith the Lord," right? We don't do that here. We don't do that here because that's weird and that's awkward and you could get it wrong. And so we don't want you speaking for God like with the thus saith the Lord. Can we just all put that to rest and say, no, that's just not how we're going to do it, right? One of my all-time favorites is, "I have a prophetic word for you, if you'll hear it." What do you mean, if I'll hear it? Send it to me in an email. Now, listen, this is always interesting, but good prophetic etiquette, right? Like the person said, "I think I hear the Lord," or "I think the Lord might be saying to you," but that was about as good as the good part got. From there, it kind of turned a little south. One of the first words I ever got, this person looked at me and he goes, "I think the Lord's saying to you, you are incredibly stubborn." And I paused. They weren't done yet. They were getting ready to go again. They said, "In fact, you're as stubborn as a donkey." End of the prophetic word. And I sat there and I thought, are you, what is this? Do you want to fight me right now? Like, isn't a donkey another word for, is that what you're calling me right now? Like, what, how is this supposed to work, right? And so, but again, there were some good things happening. This person was tethered to someone who was spiritually mature and pretty gifted and walking and hearing from the Lord. And so she kind of interrupted him and said, "Hey, you know what? I actually do think that you heard from the Lord there, but the way that you delivered that, it's not congruent with 1 Corinthians 14. It's not congruent with the word of God. So before you deliver a word that you think you heard from God, you need to pause and you need to ask the second question, God, what do you want me to do with this? How do you want me to share this?" And that was the step that this guy missed. And so she stepped in and she said, "Let's pray. Let's ask God. God, if this is from you, how do you want me to deliver this?" She sat quietly for a moment and then she looked at me and she said, "Jeff, you are a man of determination." She said, "You have God-given determination. But if you don't partner your gifting to the presence of Christ, that God-given determination could turn into unruly stubbornness." Don't you hear how different that is? Don't you hear how one of them is grounded in how we're supposed to deliver these? And one, it wasn't bad. It was just immature. It was just someone learning, right? This is why we do this together. This is why we tether ourselves to someone who's just a little further in the race than we are. And this is why when we deliver these words, we make sure that the scripture is informing how we minister to one another. I'll never forget that for so many different reasons. I share that. And like, this was an accurate word. So you just all learned a little bit more about what it's like to work at the Vineyard. I can. Natalie and I have fights over who's more stubborn, actually. So... Listen, it was a beautiful moment, and what I loved about it was you could sense the presence of God on the way that she delivered it. And it wasn't because she was trying to overfunction for like my tender heart and make sure that I wasn't crushed. She was trying to hear from the Lord and be obedient in its delivery. And when those two things happen at the same time, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. 1 Corinthians 4:13, if you're going to offer a prophetic word, it needs to strengthen, encourage, and comfort others. That's kind of why God does it. He does it to encourage. He does it to strengthen. But what about the how? How can I hear from God? How can you hear from God? You know, before the days of caller ID, which I know some of you have never experienced the lack of caller ID in your life ever before, back in the day, there was a phone that was connected to your wall and wires would go all kinds of different directions. And you had no idea who was calling you. You just had to pick it up like a chump and hope that it was someone you wanted to talk to. Right? And unless they introduced themselves, you had no idea who was on the other side of the phone. It's very different now. Like my smart device, my iPhone, like I love it because my mom calls me and she goes, Jeff, it's your mom. Like, no, I know. Your picture actually showed up on my screen when you were calling. You can just start talking now. And if I don't know the number, like, I'm not answering it. It's going to go to voicemail. And if you leave a voicemail, I'm immediately thinking to myself, why didn't you just text me? This is the current reality, right? But back in the day, you had to answer the phone, and the only way you could recognize that voice is if you had logged enough hours talking to that person that you could pick their voice out from a million others. And it's the same way with hearing the voice of God. You've got to log some time with the Lord. You've got to open up scripture and you have to get to know his nature and get to know his heart. You have to realize how he speaks to you. You have to speak to him and you have to listen. You've got to log some hours so that when he taps you on the shoulder and begins speaking to you, you can pick his voice out from all the other competing voices that are around you. This is what it takes. This is what it takes to begin hearing from God. If you're taking notes this morning, this is a good one to jot down because these are the top three ways that God will speak to you. The top three ways that, God will speak to you. God will speak to you through the Bible. God will speak to you through other godly people, and God will speak to you directly in your personal prayer life. The Bible, other godly people, directly to your prayer life. Listen, God's word is alive and active. It is the primary way that God will speak to you. If you ever wonder if God's speaking to you, just grab a cup of coffee, open the Bible, and start reading it. He'll speak to you. He'll speak to you. If you're ever like in a rut and you're, man, I haven't heard from the Lord in a while, open your Bible and begin reading it. He'll speak to you. And if this is true, then some of you may need to change the way you read the Bible a little bit. Like, don't rush through a few chapters just so that you can open up your email inbox or get onto your social media feed. Read it slowly. Between paragraphs, pause so you can hear his voice. If something stands out to you, read that paragraph again because God might be highlighting something in there for you. Just read it again slowly. So I tell people this all the time. We don't read the Bible to finish. We read it to change. So read the Bible to change, not to finish. Another primary way that God will speak to you is through other godly people. This happened for me just a couple of weeks ago. I was having coffee with a friend, someone who I really trust, someone that I've come to learn hears from the Lord. And as we were going our different ways in the parking lot, he offered something to me. And I swear it was God just speaking right to my heart through this man. And then we went our separate ways, and that little moment of encouragement stuck with me for a couple of weeks. This is why, again, we emphasize small groups at the Vineyard. It's why we encourage you to pray and receive prayer during our ministry time on a consistent basis. It's why church is vital. Honestly, it's why gathering together is vital, because it doesn't matter if it's me or anyone else on the preaching team, God will speak to you from whoever is sharing in God's word. And of course, God will also use your personal prayer life. He'll speak directly to you in the place of prayer. And for me, one of the best tools that I've adopted in my prayer life, in my personal walk with God, is asking questions and waiting. One of the ways I most often hear the voice of the Lord is by asking a question and waiting, which does mean, by the way, sometimes I ask a question and I don't hear anything at all from the Lord. But I'm content to just wait in his presence. But if you learn the habit of praying and asking a question and just waiting, I am confident that God will speak to you. And I'm not waiting for an audible voice. I'm not waiting for an audible voice. Although, professional tip for you, if you ever get someone to jury duty and they wonder how you're going to judge your peers, just tell them you're going to judge your peers based on what God tells you. and I promise you they'll dismiss you off jury duty so quickly. Okay? Little professional tip for you. But listen, I'm not, all kinds of sidebars happen right there. Listen, I'm not waiting for an audible voice. What I'm waiting for is those intersecting thoughts, those impressions, those leanings or leadings one way or another. I'll ask questions all the time to the Lord. God, what do you want me to do today? And then I'll sit and wait. And guess what? If I don't hear anything, I'll just go about what's on my calendar, trusting that God is moving. But I want to give him the moment to speak to me. If I'm praying for someone else, God, what do you want me to say right now? What do you want to say to this person? And then I'll actually pause and I'll wait. You know, and oftentimes in those moments, because God speaks to us through the word, through godly people, and to our own personal prayer life, I'll often hear a Bible verse. I'll often hear a phrase from scripture, and I'll share that. Right? And then what's really great about the prophetic is that you can, if you're praying for that person face-to-face, you can ask for immediate feedback. Does this resonate with you at all? Does this seem like a theme that God might be bringing up for you? What happened to your heart when I shared that? Did it seem like it was God or not? If it's not, I'm okay, because I'm learning to hear God's voice too. But getting that feedback helps me discern, was that the Lord's voice or was that something else? Right? All of these things are incredibly important for us as we wade into the waters learning how to hear his voice. And like Paul, I hope that we all grow in this. I hope that you grow in this. I hope you grow in your ability to hear God's voice, because it's so important for our spiritual maturity, right? We want word and spirit married together in our lives. But I do want to revisit, as we talk about how, I do want to revisit this idea of prophetic etiquette one more time with you. I think the prophetic etiquette becomes really important for us as the body of Christ as we wade into this together and we try to do this together. Remember the first kind of idea of the prophetic etiquette was, know thus saith the Lord. So this is a really awkward phrase, or I have a prophetic word for you if you'll hear it, right? Avoid those. The other kind of idea with prophetic etiquette that I want to share with you is to not offer words about hatch, match, or dispatch. This was a phrase that was given to me, and I'm teaching it back to you. And listen, we say things like this because we've seen things go horribly wrong before. Don't offer a word about hatch, match, or dispatch. Avoid words about someone getting pregnant. That's hatch. It's a real thing because it's really happened. It's just a good one to avoid. Don't do that. Avoid words about marriage and dating. That's match. It's not going to work very well. And avoid words about death and departure. Dispatch. Not good. That's no fly zone right there. Don't go there. Hatch, match, dispatch. Listen, prophetic etiquette, propheticate is what I like to call it as I mash the words together. Propheticate, it's a really important thing. I used to train teenagers and young adults how to hear the voice of God all the time, and I have stories for days about the amount of teenagers who got a prophetic word that they needed to date that girl over there. Or the amount of prophetic words I've heard about a college student swearing they heard from the Lord that they were going to marry this person or that person. Listen, I'm all for like praying about whether or not that's the person that you should marry. That is a good idea. It's a good idea. But don't leverage God to get a date. That's not a good idea. I would always tell the teenagers, that's not prophecy. That's puberty, okay? It's not prophecy. It's puberty. And you have to disassociate what's going on all around here with what the Lord is speaking to you. And I realized like that doesn't land for everyone because we're intergenerational. So I had to change it a little bit. It's not puberty, it's prophecy anymore. Now that's pathetic, not prophetic. Okay? This is the reality. Like, we have to be careful with some of these things. Hatch, match, and dispatch words, trust me, no good will come of this. You don't want to end up in a sermon. I'll just put it that way. Well, that was an uncomfortable laugh. I'm totally joking. Listen, as I close, as we prepare for our time of reflection and response, let me just share a final few thoughts with you. First, if this is of interest for you and you really want to grow in this, then I would encourage you to sign up for the prayer team. Signing up for the prayer team will give you a regular and consistent opportunity to lay your hand on someone's shoulder and invite God to speak through you on that person's behalf. Bristow has a prayer training a class coming up in April. You can sign up for that at votrweekly.org. And he has told me he's trying to double the size of the prayer team. He's trying to double the size of the prayer team, which means we need a lot more prayers. So if you want to learn and you want to grow in hearing the voice of God, then we would encourage you to sign up for that class. But even if you don't want to join the prayer team, even if you don't have any visions of joining the prayer team, let me encourage you to sign up for that class for yourself. Just sign up for it for yourself, because if you learn to hear the voice of God in a more mature and a more complete way, then it will revolutionize your prayer life. It will bless your marriage, it will bless your family, and it will bless the people that God has placed in your life. Paul told us to earnestly desire the gifts, especially that we may prophesy. And this class that Bristow is teaching is an excellent way to begin growing in that. So finally, as I close then, back to the questions that I presented at the beginning, the two questions. What might God be speaking to you right now? Did you come in with a question that's been burning in your heart that you need an answer for? Are you at a point of discernment or at a fork in the road and you need the Lord to speak to you? What might God be saying to you right now? And second, do you need to give your life to Christ for the very first time today? If you have a question, then we move into our time of reflection. I would invite you to ask God that question. If you don't hear an answer, I would invite you to go back and get prayer and ask that question. If you don't get an answer there, continue asking that question until the Lord speaks. And if you've never given your life to the Lord, then just in just a moment, we're going to invite you to respond. But first, let's pray together.